Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got shoes, we've got Dynamite Diamond Rings, and we also got very hurtful words. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the fellas. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by George Hermosa and Jimmy Corderis. And Jimmy, do you have a Hall of Fame ring? Are you in the Hall of Fame? Is that what that says?
No, this is a commemorative coin from the 2007 Hall of Fame induction ceremony that we were all given, which is kind of cool. I found it today. Thinking back to the 2007 Hall of Fame inductee class, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Mr. Yeah. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, Jerry Lawler, Nick Bockwinkel, Mr. Fuji, the original Sheik from Detroit, and of course, good old JR.
Great class.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if we had more time on a show like this, I would love to have a little debate tournament where we take all of the Hall of Fame classes and imagine they were put on like Survivor Series teams and did a tournament and see which which class would win the Survivor Series Hall of Fame tournament.
Yeah, you know what? I'd say that 2007 would be in contention.
Pretty stacked.
Yeah.
Pretty stacked, that one. But they're all stacked. I feel like I say that every year. Except for like 2020. What was the one where they didn't do it, I guess?
They made up for it in 2021. They're like, oh, these are our 2020 inductees. Oh, and these are our 2021 inductees. But yeah.
Still waiting for Team Batista to show up to the Hall of Fame. But speaking of Hall of Famers, George, you got Pat Patterson's book there. How'd you like that one? Should everyone buy it?
I think so. It's pretty cool. You know, he groundbreaking in many, many ways, obviously. A San Francisco treat, I guess you can call him.
Well, we have a big episode to break down tonight of AEW Dynamite. Also, we're going to do our predictions. This is one of the favorite things that we do here on Wrestling Inc., where we get all of our predictions for the shows. A lot of people said, Jack, I love listening to your predictions, but you're so good. You get them so correct. It's almost like spoilers. Can you please save us? So if I get any wrong this time, just know I'm doing you guys a favor, trying to keep some surprise to the show. No, it's not right. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And by the way, I vote for Survivor Series or Hall of Fame 2009. You got Steve Austin, Ricky Steamboat on the same class. I think that'd be a tough team to beat.
That's a good one too. Everyone in the chat and everyone in the comments, that is your question of the day: is what Hall of Fame class would win a Survivor Series type tournament?
That 2013 would be a good one too. You got Bruno, Mick Foley. Be a tough one to beat. I think Booker T was in that same class too.
Hogan and Piper as well was a class. So,
although I'm gonna cheat a little bit because I think my vote's gonna be 2019 because you had the Hart Foundation, Harlem Heat, and DX. It'd be a tough team to beat.
Which one had the Road Warriors Legion of Doom? Now, that's the team that's winning the whole thing.
I want to say was 2011. I think that was the same year that HBK got inducted. I could be very wrong. I think that was
every time those guys come out, I just say to myself, whoa, what a rush.
Well, okay. Tell them, Jack.
In any case, we've got some news to talk about. We're going to get back into the AEW side of things. That's what the show's all about. This one, we're talking about Sting. Speaking of Hall of Famers, what year did he go in? That would be a good
2016.
Year. 2016. So time flies, man. I thought he just went in. But in any case, according to Fightful Select, in addition to appearing backstage at recent episodes of Collision, during AEW's residency at the Esports Stadium in Arlington, Texas, the icon, Sting, has reportedly told people close to him that he will be traveling to London, England for the second annual AEW All In. It has not been confirmed as to whether Sting will be appearing on camera in any capacity or simply joining the rest of the roster as a backstage visitor. Jimmy, I love hearing stories like this. I imagine that someone like Sting obviously is there because he wants to be. It's cool that he has a place he can do that. Talk to me a bit about legends coming back after their contracts are up and Do you have any stories of wrestlers that would regularly show up even though they weren't technically on the roster anymore?
Well, let's start with Sting. Like you said, having icons and legends coming back to the and just to hang out. Let's say, for example, just to hang out backstage and meet with old friends, meet new friends, and just be there for everybody to kind of absorb that aura that surrounds them. And then you absorb this and you go, you know what? Just being around them, I can tell why this person had it. I could tell why this person was a superstar. And they're all, you know, just easily accessible. The guys that I've had the pleasure of getting to know and getting to chum around with. For me, it was always cool when you got someone like a Dusty come back. And I know someone else who gets a lot, Flair. Ric Flair, you know, because, you know, I know there's a lot of stories about Rick, but Rick is always that guy. When he's back there, he's like one of the boys. You know, he's one of the best ever to do it. And I know people say, oh, Mr. Flair. But he's like, no, man, you call me Rick. I'm Rick. He's just that kind of guy. So it's always great when you have these legends coming back just to visit. But yeah, Sting, I'm looking forward to see if it's more than just a visit.
Well, George, that's the question. Do you think we might see Sting get involved? And would you like to see Sting get involved on camera or in the match after the big retirement he had?
I don't want to see him in the ring ever again. I think he needs to go that route of just, you know what, my time has come. I mean, he doesn't have that kind of move like a choke slam where he can just kind of come in and choke slam somebody like we saw with Undertaker. I think his is more of like, you know, the Scorpion death drop. Although we did see that move get performed today, which might be who knows something that we'll see. But I'd love to see him kind of make some kind of appearance. It doesn't have to be like how WrestleMania does exactly, but I would like to see some kind of acknowledgement, I guess you can say, for Sting's career, and maybe put that exclamation point, have him come out in front of that Wembley Stadium crowd, and just, hey, you know, we have a legend in the house, we have Sting, say hello, you know, hey, thank you for everything, you know, and everything, and enjoy the show. Like, it doesn't have to be physicality just because he's there, but I would like to see him at some point make an appearance during the pay-per-view.
Adonde with the comment here, Sting might hop out of the casket. I would love to see that. But Jimmy, I'd love to see any combination of this. I'm a huge Sting fan. He's one of my all-time favorites, just as a personal, as a fan. And I think that, one, I love the idea of him getting a moment, like to what George said, coming out as like just an acknowledgement of who he is and what he's done. And even just letting those fans across the pond get to see him. And I think that sets a good tone. But also, you know, I'm fine with him. I don't want to see him have a match again. I would. I'm a sucker. Wow. I'll be honest. If they said he's coming back, I'd be like, yeah, I'm a Stinger. Let's go. But I think he probably shouldn't. That said, I'd be okay if he did like Undertaker did at WrestleMania this year and, you know, hit a Stinger splash on somebody or did something a little bit like that. Where do you draw the line as far as how much you'd like to see him on TV?
Obviously, you don't want to see him a lot because that would waste a moment. He's retired now from in-ring competition. It doesn't mean he can't enter the ring for a one-off doing something like you said, something like we saw at WrestleMania with John Cena and The Undertaker and that sort of thing. But I have an idea in my head that I might save for when we do our predictions.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I won't press it because that means I want to save it for the predictions. But I'll
teaser,
be honest.
Teaser.
I know he shouldn't come back, but I know myself too well, Jimmy and George, and you guys probably know me too much. You could have someone who's like 105, and like, he's coming back for one more. I'm like, he's coming back for one more. Let's do it. Like,
Nobody ever fully retires, right, George?
I think I know everybody's different. Not everybody's the same, but after seeing Ric Flair's last match, I think there's some people that should stay retired.
Well, you know what he meant by last match? Is that was his most recent match. Not
yeah, pretty much.
That's what he says. That was my last match. The most previous one I did. But speaking of Darby Allin, tied to Sting, obviously, apparently there are rumors that Darby Allin may be in line for a shot at the big one. Darby Allin is guaranteed a shot at the AEW World Championship at Grand Slam edition of AEW Dynamite in September, which he earned winning the Royal Rampage match in July. But according to the Wrestling Observer, George, they're saying Darby Allin might win the championship. What do you make of these rumors?
That's a, what a weird rumor to like kind of like what a weird thing to have in the news, right? Like, oh, Darby Allin, he might win. Oh, but he might not. It's like, thank you. Leave it up for ambiguity. If he does win, I hope they do it in a way where that it makes sense, you know, not just win, just to have him win, especially with the AEW championship. It feels like that title is more of like the workhorse title. We've seen Swerve just absolutely do amazing things since becoming champion. Then you have somebody like Darby who has no problem admitting, you know, he's a bit of a risk taker, jumping out of planes or jumping off of mountains, whatever he does, climbing mountains. So if he can be a reliable person in that sense of being a champion that we know is going to show up every week, is going to show up healthy, you know, for the most part. And if the story's right, like I'd be interested to see it. I know there's a lot of chatter on the internet that, maybe, you know, you'll know things will go downhill if Darby is champion. Like, I completely disagree. I think if the story's right, I think if it makes sense, I think there are a lot of people that can be champions. And, you know, hopefully they do it right by Darby, not just have him win just for the sake of winning. But I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. I think it'd bring a nice shot, you know, a nice boost for AEW if that's the case, because there are a lot of Darby fans out there. But we'll see.
Yeah, Fernando says, I think Tony is grooming Darby for a world championship run. I mean, when you look at how Darby's been going the past year or so, it absolutely feels like that could be the case. I would love to see Darby as world champion because I think that he's someone that really feels like AEW, kind of like the heart and soul of AEW. He's also someone who we always talk about being the alternative. He feels different than what you see on any other wrestling program, and I think that's something that you want to reward. Jimmy, your thoughts on the idea of Darby Allin becoming champion and where you think, what do you think about this report?
I think it's interesting timing for this report. That's going into All In too. That's kind of weird timing to me as well as George said, a weird kind of thing to put out there for people to absorb. I find it curious. I would be curious to see how he handles the World Heavyweight Championship because yes, he's very popular. The crowd loves him. The AEW faithful are really on board with Darby Allin, but as world champion, you have to be more than a death-defying stunt taker, if you know what I mean. You have to be able to go and have those matches, regular wrestling matches, without all the gimmicks attached to it. And I'd like to see more of him wrestling, because I think he can. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he can, but lately he's just, you know, setting people on fire and you like dodging buses and yeah, that sort of stuff.
I don't think he dodges them.
Oh, well, they're pretty much. Yeah, he doesn't dodge them. But I'd like to see more in a wrestling capacity. I know people are saying, yeah, but he's different from everybody else when he does that. Yeah, I get that. But the world championship represents wrestling. It doesn't represent. If you want to change the title, they change all the titles anyways. Why don't you just change it to the AEW World Hardcore Championship and just, you know, or something.
Well, you talk about you got to be something more, something different. Yeah, I mean, he's got to add cheap pops. Ask McFoley. That's the trick. Yeah. But last thing, I guess, on this, and unless you guys have any other additional things, I usually don't take too much stock in rumors we hear, especially like George said, when it's a he might win, he might not. Well, great story. Yeah. I mean, I never said
for sure he was winning, so I'm not wrong.
But this is where
that's like sorry to cut you off, Jack, but that just sounds like the weather report. There's a 50% chance of showers today. You know, like, okay. Yeah.
Helpful.
Yeah, very helpful. Do I take an umbrella or not?
Yeah, it's what I think may be happening here, maybe this is I'm gonna put on conspiracy hat Jack here. I got a feeling this is one of those times where I could imagine someone in AEW saying, let's leak this and see what the reaction is online and see, are people digging it? Are they excited about it? Or are they like, nah, this is a bad idea. Let's just test the waters and see how people are feeling. And then we can kind of gauge how we go forward. It wouldn't surprise me if that's what was going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Going back to Darby, though, and I say this with all due respect, right? Because Darby isn't exactly the lowest person out there. No, because you look at how, like, when Rey Mysterio won it, right? Right? When back in 06, like, what a great story leading up to it. It wasn't just Rey winning. Oh, we like Rey. Let's give him the belt. It was a story that led up to it. And that's what you kind of have to do with a little bit of the smaller guys. I look at somebody like a Swerve who just looks the part. Darby looks cool. But when I think of world champion, I don't exactly think of Darby Allin. With that said, that's what I mean by if the story is right and it's a, you know, not just give it to him just for the sake of giving it to him, but a good story can really go a long way when it comes to the world championship scene.
And add on that really quickly, size does matter from a visual standpoint. Mm-hmm. And that means you have to wrestle accordingly. You can't be someone the size, and again, no disrespect, but the size of someone like Darby Allin wrestling someone like a Swerve, he can't get 70% of the offense on Swerve, someone like Swerve. He has to fight from underneath. And we're not seeing a lot of that with a lot of the, again, quote-unquote, smaller guys lately. They have to learn that style and learn that they have to overcome something other than a bus.
Well, as a Washington State guy myself, Darby, Washington State guy to Washington State guy, I support you being champ. I want you to win the title as long as it's not Swerve or Brian Danielson, who are also Washington State guys. Washington State doing well in AEW right now.
Representing.
Speaking of Washington State guys, Brian Danielson's AEW contract is up. Did you guys hear this? I feel like Jay Leno. Do you hear this one? You heard about this, guys? Hey. Brian Danielson told Fightful Select is saying that he is on his final countdown after his contract expired on August 1st. Daniel said he has not extended his AEW contract. He told Fightful's Sean Ross Sapp he, quote, doesn't look at his phone very much, but will always answer for AEW president Tony Khan, and said they will, quote, explore options when the time comes. The American Dragon said that his priority after finishing his in-ring run will be getting his neck better, and told Fightful Select that it will likely involve surgery. Jimmy, this is a how often in your experience do you know of wrestlers regularly appearing without a contract extension? Is this something that's happened? Is there precedent for this, or is this a rare current thing, or any experience in that?
No, I've seen, well, handshake deals where they said, okay, you're on your way out. You know, you're going to go out, whether it's the way the office wants you to go out, or they give them a little hand in, how would you like to go out? And we'll try to accommodate it as best we can, you know, but we also have to look at our best interests as well. Now, with someone like a Brian Danielson, who, you know, obviously Tony Khan has a great rapport with him, has a great respect for him, is probably going to allow him to go out on his terms, which is a good thing. Yeah. I appreciate that. And I like that. And he deserves that. He earned that. So I hope that's the case here. And, you know, his working relationship with AEW doesn't have to be an in-ring working relationship. This is a guy who could help mentor the future for them and help mentor. Like we talk about someone they need in the back. I don't know if we've talked about it, but I've talked about it, where they need someone to take hold of the reins and just say, hey, you know what? We need a leader in the locker room. He can be that guy without having to be in the ring. Because a lot of times locker rooms leaders are guys who are workers. And sometimes that is there's a conflict of interest there sometimes. I haven't seen it with guys like Taker and other guys, but with some guys, it is a conflict of interest, especially back in the old days. I don't think this would be a conflict having someone like him as a locker room leader to help mentor the future.
Yeah, I would love to see Brian Danielson hanging out and help mentoring people. He's clearly, George, one of the people that they say is one of the best of all time. We'll talk a bit about his fiery promo at the end of the show. Mm. But interesting handshake deals here, George. What's your take on him?
What a worker. Like, oh my god, like seriously, even dating back to like after taking the Tiger Driver from Ospreay and doing the neck, and like, oh, he's always hurt. He's going out in an interview saying, like, I'm not under contract. My wife wants me to stay home. I got to have neck surgery. Like, do you really think he's going to intentionally say all these things if it's all true right before one of the biggest matches of his career? Like, what a genuine worker that is. And I'll get into it more into predictions, but like this to me is the most impossible match to predict the winner, because a lot of it is because of what he's saying in interviews. And like I said, he's saying all, I mean, again, my opinion, I think he's saying all these things on purpose. Like, who says you need neck surgery just days before the main event match and All In? You know, like people want that kind of doubt. Like it gives more story to the match, right? We're probably going to see Swerve work on the neck. We're probably going to see Bryan sell the neck. And it's going to, if he does end up winning, it's going to make that moment mean that much bigger.
I love it. I believe that. I'm with you, George. I'm not going to pretend I came into this conversation with that thought process, but you're right. And he is, because he's one of those guys. There are other guys that are the same way, where, you know, like anytime you hear from Paul Heyman, you know, he's got an agenda he's pushing. He ain't giving you the real deal, you know? And so I could totally see that. But everyone in the comments, let me know your thoughts on the Bryan Danielson situation. We do have a question in the chat from a newcomer I haven't seen before, at least in the chat that I've noticed. Denisha Lane, let me know if I'm saying your name right, says, hey, everyone, thoughts on Ricky Starks going to WWE? George, I don't know if you've seen anything on this. I have not seen anything official about Ricky Starks going to WWE. For now, it's still all conjecture.
The only thing I've seen, again, it's all rumors, is there's been talk of if he does go. And again, I don't know how these stories generate, right? Like, who's saying all these things to the sheets? But like, if he does go to WWE, he'd be going to NXT first. And that's the only thing I've seen in terms of the news. But either way, I think, and again, there's a lot of people that are out there saying like, oh, why does Ricky Stark need to go to NXT? He's ready for the main roster. Can't Cody get him in? Like, dude, like, Cody doesn't run the company, guys. But also, like, NXT, it's kind of coming back to be that place where you don't just go there if you're a rookie, right? And to me, NXT is the best combination of rookies and veterans, where you have a lot of the veterans and, you know, putting over a lot of the rookies. We even saw on last night on NXT, we saw Hank and Tank beat the Good Brothers, right? Like, on paper, they have no business winning, but it's all about putting the next generation over, but also, you know, staying relevant and whatnot. So Ricky Starks is still relatively young, especially when you have somebody like a Billy Gunn, like, pushing 60. But with that said, like, I think there's no shame.
Heavy weight around, too.
Oh, my God, dude. Seriously. With that said, like, whatever goes to NXT, there's no shame in that. I'd love to be on NXT because I'd love to be able to showcase my talent on the CW network on a broadcast channel on prime time. I emphasize that on a regular basis because that's how important it is. And as opposed to like WWE, like, yeah, you might be put in a good story, but you might not, because there's a lot of cards in that deck where you just might get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, Jimmy, of course, I've seen nothing official as far as Ricky Starks leaving or where he's going. I do see people guessing that he would go to NXT, and a lot of people saying he should go straight to the main roster or whatever. This is all just people guessing stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, everyone should go through NXT unless you are a massive superstar that Cody Rhodes is different. I think even Ricky Starks would tell you that. I think just about everybody in any other wrestling company would tell you that around the world. So I think right off the top, like, going to NXT isn't a bad deal. Everyone needs to go there. And I think if you're the kind of person that says, I don't want to go to NXT, that's the first red flag to everybody at WWE, because if you're not willing to do it, then they probably don't want you.
Exactly. And NXT, I know people label it the developmental brand, but it also develops people who have been in the business for a long time and gets them acclimated to the WWE way of doing business. They get you ready to do promos. They get you ready to teach you everything from how to deal with media, how to do all that sort of stuff. So they take you in there. They give you a good once over. And once they think you're ready for the main roster, then they'll send you there. But in the meantime, you're still getting a lot of good television exposure and you're getting reps. You're getting to work with people who are also in the same boat as you. You'll get people who haven't been hold on, I almost said refereeing, wrestling for a while and for a long time. And you get to work with people who have been there for a long time. So you get a nice smorgasbord of people to get in the ring with and get acclimated, like I said, to the WWE way of doing television. Right. Because everybody thinks, oh, it's just, you do the same thing like you do on a house show, but you just do it on TV. No, it's a completely different animal. You know, I think that would be a good first step for him, whether it's 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, whatever it is. You know, it would do him nothing but good.
And also, like, even if he does go to the main roster, why? Like, What's the rush? Like, and especially, and it's one thing if, and again, I'm just guessing here, if you got paid main roster money to be on NXT, like, why would you be in such a rush to be on the main roster? We're seeing guys, you know, somebody even like, I can't even think of the top of my head, but there's a few talent on the main roster where it's like, oh yeah, he hasn't been on TV a few weeks. Whereas opposed to NXT, their television shows pace so well where it's really difficult to forget somebody being on NXT on a regular basis. Cause in some ways they're referenced, you know, whether they're on TV or whether it's just a backstage promo, whether it's some video vignette, like I think people will benefit more, depends on who they are, being in NXT as opposed to just being rushed up on the main roster. It's like, for what? Like, WWE is this big conglomerate. Like, there's room for, not, I'm going to say there's room for everybody, but it's such a big thing where it's like, being on NXT, it's like, it's not, that doesn't mean it's a downgrade, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Well, speaking of things that aren't downgrades, we got a big show coming up on Sunday, All In, and we're going to be covering it here on Wrestling Inc. Me and Flobo Boyce are going to be chatting it up. After that show, we're going to be watching it. We're going to watch it live. Follow us on Twitter, by the way. We'll be tweeting about it as we go. Then we're going to hop on here. We're going to chat all about it. We'll be taking your questions in the live chat. It's going to be a fun time, Jimmy.
I really have a question for you. What time will that be at? What time is the pay-per-view and what time are you guys on?
That's a fantastic question that I probably won't think about until Friday evening.
But. So All In starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time, which means Jack and Phil will probably go live around 6 p.m.
Gotcha. Okay. Just confirming. That's all.
It will be a long show, but it'll be a good one. I'm excited about it. Everyone should tune in and check it out. I like it when we get big numbers on there because I take them back to our Wrestling Inc. overlords and I say, look at how good I am. I've got a lot of people tuning in. But let's talk about this show, and I'm happy to talk about it with my good pals here, Jimmy and George, as well as everyone in the chat, like Fernando and Danny and Tommy O and JT098, Jonathan Torres, Daniel Berry, Adonde, JR, Killer, Adim, and Stephen Camp, Maria and Sherrod and Reaper and Adonde and April and Jose and Logan and lots of folks here, and Denisha stalking you, burner account, Carl Roland, Sonny Sitar, beer, money, Jim Bohedo, and thank you, and everyone else. I think I got most people. Mr. X lurking, Jose lurking. Always appreciate you guys here. Let's talk about a dynamite episode of AEW. See how I did that? Play words. I'm a pro, baby. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com. We start with a contract signing. Britt Baker and Mercedes Moné. Fans are hot for this one as Britt says she's a day one person and Mercedes says Britt got a little degree because she needed something to fall back on. Britt says that she's not going to hit Mercedes, but Camille is getting on her nerves, so she takes them both out Jimmy, I thought this was a fun way to start the show, a fun take on contract signings. What was your thoughts?
I was enjoying it until the very end. I thought that was the best I've seen, in my opinion, the CEO on the microphone. I like the fact that Camille is there as her bodyguard. But again, your bodyguard is there to take the bullet and not take, not sell the way she's been selling for Britt Baker. She should have got some sort of heat on Britt Baker to put further interest in this match, in my opinion. I just that's the only part of that I didn't like. I thought the rest of it was good. I thought the banter back and forth was good. They hit each other with some good zingers. But that ending part just didn't sit well with me. I would have preferred that maybe Camille maybe get the best of Britt.
Yeah.
That's just plain and simple that way.
That was actually my one note, is I kind of wish Camille was able to stay looking unbeatable and unstoppable and have that sort of like, man, what is she going to do? I kind of would have liked it if Britt Baker tried to take out Camille and Camille just leveled her. And then it was like, geez, what is Britt going to do on Sunday? I would have enjoyed that. But overall, I dug this, George. And my favorite part, I giggled because I'm a child, when Mercedes Moné was like, DMD, making fun of the way people say it in the crowd. I loved it. What was your thoughts?
Yeah, I think she plays a much better heel than a face, but I completely disagree with your guys' assessment, because everything that you said you wanted to happen already happened on Collision, and I didn't want to see it two times in a row. So I feel like we needed to see some kind of revenge, I guess you can say, from Britt toward Camille. I don't think it really made Camille look weak, because it's not like she was laying flat. It's not like she was, you know, I think if anything, maybe Britt should have powdered out instead of Camille and Mercedes. That's my only kind of thing. But I know they wanted to have that end shot with Britt holding the championship and whatnot, but yeah, I dug it overall. I thought it was great. I think Britt is highly, I don't know if it's right to say underrated on the mic, cause maybe she gets properly rated, cause I think she's phenomenal on the mic. I think her and Mercedes have a natural chemistry together being in the ring. We'll see if they have that same kind of chemistry, in a match. But if the match is any indication on how their in-ring promos have been, I think it's going to be a great match. I'm very much looking forward to it. But yeah, I think this is like an A-minus all around. And I think that Camille is going to be somebody very, very special and to look out for in the near future.
Yeah, my major gripe is a good one, and it's that I feel like Camille is the person I'm most interested in this rivalry. And
she just looks really phenomenal. Yeah.
And I'm interested in Mercedes. I'm interested in Britt. I think both of them are fantastic, and I think that they're doing everything right. But I'm just—it's a bit like, it reminds me a bit of Jacob Fatu in WWE, where you had Solo doing his thing, you had Cody Rhodes doing his thing, and then suddenly this third party was added, and everyone's like, "Whoa, who is this person?" That's kind of how I feel right now, and so I'm really. I'm a fan of hers, and I'm a fan of what they're doing. I'm excited. Also excited to see Dylan Matthews back in the chat. I haven't seen him in a while. Dylan, the GIF King coming through.
I hope Camille has a better trajectory than Wardlow, because there's a lot of similarities in the way that she's getting presented when he came on with MJF. So with that said, I'm hoping that in about a year or two, it doesn't have to mean Camille gets the one up on a Mercedes, but I just feel like overall, I hope that she doesn't get forgotten, I guess you can say, like, unfortunately, Wardlow has.
Beer Money with a great line here says, Monet should have said DMD stands for doesn't make dollars, and only she makes money. That is a great line. And if you guys are watching, I'm just going to give away Beer Money's line here. Just steal it.
Yeah.
And I'll take credit for it too.
Let him steal it. Take it.
We got another segment here, one that I thought was great, and I know that you guys enjoyed, and it was from The Learning Tree. So first off, they're excited to be in Cardiff, England, which was just great stuff by Jericho. During this matchup with Dynamite Kid, The Learning Tree is helping outside, and Jericho eventually gets the win over the hometown fella. After the match, Jericho goads Hook into the ring, where The Learning Tree beats him up. George, Tom Billington. Why does he get to call himself the Dynamite Kid? Just because he's blood related?
Apparently.
Another great thing, but I'm a huge, I was, by the way, Dynamite Kid, one of my favorites growing up. And so I'm already rooting for this guy. What are your thoughts on Tommy Billington?
I think there's a lot of juice to squeeze. I think he's part of a tag team as well. I think there's like the Billington Bulldog or something like that. I would have loved to see them maybe brought in together. I think they'd make a great feud with like the Von Erichs. I'm a big fan of that kind of legacy type feuds. But with that said, I'm liking what I see. He had that great match with, I want to say Dax. Was it Dax a couple, like a month ago or two? Yeah, one of FTR. And I know Jericho, you know, having that Stampede Wrestling background, I'm sure he couldn't wait to step in the ring with somebody like a Billington. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's a little bit shorter. We were kind of talking earlier about Darby, but he can still go. And a lot of what he did made sense. A lot of those short arm clotheslines, I really dug that old school kind of Dynamite Kid style. But yeah, I mean, it was a good match. Jericho, obviously, he can still go. Never doubted his in-ring ability. I always made sure to never degrade that. But it's also like, I mean, overall, it wasn't that bad, especially because we didn't really see Hook on the mic. So that was a plus overall. But yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be open-minded. And I think this overall, from start to finish, it was one of the better Learning Tree segments that we've seen since the whole Jericho Vortex started.
Jimmy, I want to talk more about Tommy Billington here. I know a lot of people who are critical of AEW will say, hey, you've got this guy that we don't really know having this long match against the champion. I get all that. But is there something to be said about having the hometown guy have a big moment on a big stage, especially since I think rumors are he recently signed? Is there something to just say, like, let's give something to him and give something to the fans in this situation?
I don't see a problem with it, especially with someone with a lineage. Yes, he's using the Tommy Billington name. I don't know if that, I know he's related. I don't know what that relation is, and I don't know his exact actual real name. If it is Billington, maybe it is Tommy Billington. I don't know. But, you know, using that Bulldog-esque attire doesn't hurt either. But it's an opportunity to show people what he has and put him in there with someone like a Jericho who, like you said, paying homage to the old British Bulldogs. It's a win-win, I think, for him. It gets him a chance. It gets him exposure against someone who's completely over. And as far as the Jericho segment, I just really got to get to that really quick. I thought that was the best part of the Learning Tree. Mm-hmm. That backstage, what he said about Tommy Billington, what makes you think you deserve to use that name? You're nothing like him, and you know, that sort of stuff. That was great. I love that. Better. And what was that last line that Hobbs threw in there too?
Or Brian Keith.
Brian Keith, I mean,
sorry. Said, he's like, big ass Wembley Stadium.
just an offhanded comment on the way out. That stuff makes me laugh. But as far as Tommy Billington goes, I think the future is bright. He needs some fine tuning, but there, someone like Jericho can fine tune him.
I wish he would change his name though. I know he's paying tribute. Boo! I think they are. He's a legit nephew of the Dynamite Kid. But maybe it's the ego. Because we know, especially we saw 10 years ago with Tay DiBiase. Maybe it's the ego. But if somebody Googles my name, I don't want someone else to show up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it's the point where, like, if he gets Googled, oh wait, Dynamite Kid. Okay, well let me look at this guy as opposed to, like, if I have my own name and my own identity, they can Google me and only I will show up.
Right.
It's no, I disagree. This is like a family legacy thing. I mean, it's like keeping the name Mysterio. It's like
But I'm saying, like, because Tom Billington is also the name of the Dynamite Kid. He also goes by the Dynamite Kid. Like, be like Bob Billington, you know? Be Jimmy Billington.
How did
Ted DiBiase Jr. go? How does his career go?
I am instantly interested in this. You know, Rey Mysterio is a junior as well. I still call him Rey Mysterio Jr., by the way, because that was WCW.
There's the rare exception where the junior or the next person in line will supersede everything that the previous person did. I know Villano 4 got a lot more success than the Villano 3. But for the most part, like, there are exceptions. But then again, you have the Ted DiBiase where, man, who knows how his career would have went if he didn't have the same first name as his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I like it. In the chat and in the comments, let me know what you think. I like that. Because I already feel attached to this guy. And I'm like, this dude is great. Right. Plus, the name Tommy Billington sounds awesome. Mm. That sounds like someone's going to beat
you. Dynamite Kid said the same thing.
Dynamite Kid is, by the way, one of my favorite monikers of all time. Yeah. Dynamite Kid. How cool is the name Dynamite Kid?
That's great.
It would have fit perfect in this case. Anyways.
We move on and we have Toni Storm versus Saraya for the women's championship. Lots of shenanigans, screaming, antics. Toni Storm gets one up on the hometown lady here. After the match, Mariah May attacks Toni Storm. Jimmy, I feel like if this was in any other city, I would have loved it. But it felt like even the crowd was like, we're not going to boo our hometown, you know, people. It just seemed like weird. I get the book. I get why you put the hometown person in front of their hometown, but like, it's very tough for Toni Storm to get sympathy when you're beating up the hometown favorites.
True. I didn't understand the reasoning why this match was taking place. You know, that's one of the problems I have sometimes is, yes, it's nice to put her out there in front of her hometown crowd, but why against Toni Storm? I get Toni Storm has got a match this weekend at All In, big important match for the Women's World Championship versus Mariah May. It didn't need to be Toni Storm. They could have had their own separate segment to sell that particular match. This match was just a placeholder to get to the segment that happened afterwards. That's all it was. And there was no rhyme or reason to have this match. And I don't want to take away from the ladies who tried really hard and had a good match. Toni Storm is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love Toni Storm. I think she's great. But there was no reason for her to be in this match tonight, especially a title match. And then in the lower third of the screen, as the match is going on, as it just starts, they're advertising the match this Sunday, Toni Storm versus Mariah May. It's like a disconnect. You know what I mean? Okay, why is this a title match? You're advertising a match. And I know commentary tried to cover it up a little bit by saying, well, maybe it won't be Toni Storm after tonight or something like this. But everybody knew.
Yeah, George.
I know I'm being nitpicky, but yeah.
And that's why I'm torn, because if she wasn't on the show, we all would have said, you're in her hometown and you didn't give her a match, much the same way they do with Zelina Vega when they're in her hometown and she doesn't get a match or something like that. So I feel like I get her having a match, and it's cool that she had a big match, a big opportunity, but yeah, it's just, especially because she's supposed to get everyone booing her, but it's her hometown. And then Mariah May came out and she clearly was being a jerk, but you could tell the crowd was like, we're not going to boo Mariah May. Like, she's one of us. It's like coming to Washington State, where I'm from, where all of AEW's future champions are going to be from, and getting me to boo them. It felt like it just didn't work out to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the buildup was fine. I mean, you had Saraya who says like she won last year in Wembley and she never got a rematch. Well, now she got a rematch in UK, wherever they were today.
Cardiff, Wales.
I feel bad for saying this, but like I feel like just the women's division has passed Saraya by. I don't know, because I watch her and like, man, this girl was supposed to be, you know, the future. I know she had that injury, so, you know, God bless. But like, you know, she had that injury, but she's back. And maybe she's just there to just kind of, you know, be out there. I think Harley Cameron's kind of the one that's taken all the spotlight, because I think she's one of those people that maximizes every single second that she's on TV, that she's on camera. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. They had that one segment, I think, on like Rampage, that I think she was just hilarious in. But just overall, I mean, it was a good match. I don't know if Saraya is going to have a role in Wembley. I mean, I guess it's like you don't have to have something every single time they're around. I mean, she had her big moment last year. Like, you don't have to have one every year, I guess. But, you know, I feel bad. I mean, hopefully Saraya is happy in her career. Hopefully that AEW, I know there's rumors out there that her contract is expiring soon. But hopefully she's happy with whatever her career is at. Because there was once a time where we all thought that she was going to be the pretty much the pinnacle of the women's division. And now she's like, not that she's gotten bad, but I just feel like everyone else has kind of surpassed her, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Jimmy, any thoughts?
No, just a real quick thing. If you're keeping score at home, that's the second post-match attack schmoz, whatever you want to call it. Just keeping score.
Well, we get a promo here afterwards, and it's from the conglomeration. And Mark Briscoe, I love this guy when he cuts promos. He's fired up. He's full of energy.
He's great.
You know I'm the positive guy on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy, I don't get this. I love Mark Briscoe cutting promos, but I don't really understand. Like, this feels like a good guy version of the Don Callis family. I don't really understand what we're doing here.
I don't understand the family part. I'm just entertained by Mark Briscoe. You know, just try, yeah. basically just trying to make sense of what he's saying. The only issue I had with this whole thing is, what did Orange Cassidy say afterwards?
I don't know.
Exactly. He like mumbled something. And
only half sure what Kyle O'Reilly was saying, to be totally honest. Yeah, only half sure what any of them were saying.
I don't even know what Mark Briscoe said, but I dug it and I loved it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is the thing about Mark Briscoe. I have no idea what he's saying, but I'm fired up after he's done saying it. I'm like, let's go.
I have a complaint, and it has nothing to do with the segment itself, but I think they are doing a complete disservice to Willow Nightingale. She has been absolutely busting her ass this past year, and the fact that she's going to be in some meaningless tag, like I said a month ago, like they threw away that big money Willow versus Chris Statlander in like the second round of the Owen Cup. And then we saw the rematch for the CMLL contenders, whatever it was. And now they're in some mixed tag match. I'm like, why is Ishii in the match? Like, he has nothing to do with the beef between Willow and Chris. Like, this should be the big time money match, not on Zero Hour, but it should be on that main stage on the pay-per-view. So I just, that's my only complaint. It's like, I really think they're doing a disservice by Willow, or with Willow, and I feel like she deserves a bigger spotlight. I know they're probably going to do something on Rampage or Collision, but either way, I feel like she should have got some moment in front of the crowd today on Dynamite, and I feel like she should have her moment in front of the all-in pay-per-view audience.
Well, that's kind of what I mean, is I don't really understand why she's there. I don't understand I just don't understand this group. I mean, I guess they're friends, but like, I don't, you know.
The only answer I could think of is, well, we want to put her on TV. That's the only thing I could think of.
But I agree. I think Willow is someone who should be having like mic time every week. She should be in she should be having programs, multiple wrestlers. She's a superstar. I want to see more of Willow 100%.
Yeah.
And not just as part of a group, but as Willow front and center. A couple guys who had a pretty lengthy promo today. This is a pretty promo heavy show for AEW, actually.
For 2 weeks in a row.
Will Ospreay comes out. And if you didn't know this, the crowd loves Will Ospreay. I'm not sure what he said, but like Mark Briscoe, I was fired up for everything he was saying. MJF comes out and talks about how important he is to AEW. And Ospreay talks about how MJF was busy doing silly stuff when Tony brought him in, and he's here to restore the feeling. MJF says Ospreay is the feeling, but MJF is the facts, and facts don't care about feelings. MJF then takes a cheap shot at Will's family, so Will says the fine is worth the cost of punching MJF, so they get into a fight. It ends with MJF bloodying Ospreay, and later in the night, Bryan Danielson saying, "Do it," to Ospreay. I think saying "sweep the leg," use the Tiger Driver. But George, I thought these guys were great. I thought that Will Ospreay, again, kind of one of those guys. I don't know if it was the crowd or if it was his accent or what. Half of the stuff went over my head what he was trying to say, but I was like, but I like this guy. And MJF is always great.
Yeah, I thought it was a great segment. My only beef, and maybe it was intentional, maybe it wasn't, but he kind of came off at a brief time as a little bit of a heel, just because he was saying, like, you know, going back to the All In, like, hey, I wasn't even an AEW wrestler last year, and Tony Khan's blowing up my phone to be on the All In show. And it was like, not just MJF, there's a lot of people back there that wishes they were in your position, you know? So I don't know. I just feel like that was maybe like a tiny smark or snarky kind of comment. But beyond that, I thought it was a great segment. MJF, I liked his part because he wasn't just resorting to always yelling or talking loud like he always does. I kind of like it was a little bit more meticulous. It was a little more calculated. So I liked that aspect of his character. But yeah, overall, I thought it was a really, really good segment that had me hooked. And I liked that he kind of added like, you know, I know we're not supposed to get physical and I'm going to get suspended, but I want to know if it's worth it, you know, punching him in the face and whatnot. But either that. And I have a little tiny tiny complaint, but it's nothing to do with the segment. But I'll wait until after I hear your guys' thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that Will Ospreay absolutely held his own with MJF tonight, which is absolutely saying something. I think that he showed to me he has – this is just another example of this is a guy who can be the top of the show. The fans were eating out of the palm of his hands. He's obviously a great wrestler, but he was cutting a good promo. We were all behind him. My only nitpick was I thought that they had a moment where MJF said something, and I feel like he said it, and then they just backed off of it and never brought it back up and just let it disappear because they wanted to go to the family stuff. Was he said, everyone loved me until you showed up and ruined it. And that, I was like, that is the story. That's what we should work with here. MJF was the favorite, and now the new guy showed up, and now he's old news. That's the story. I was disappointed that they pivoted into the family stuff instead. I mean, sure, that I get why they would go that way, but man, Jimmy, I was thinking that's a story about I was the favorite until you showed up. That is money.
It showed MJF got rattled by it because the whole time during the promo, he was acting all snug and he was coming back. And the one thing I liked about his promo was he wasn't throwing those one-liners out there that catered to the hardcore audience just to get that pop. That for no reason at all, other than to pop them, he was keeping it heel. And then when he did that, what you just described there, Jack, that was the moment where the whole thing should have flipped around. You saw him; he almost like, oh, I said it, and I didn't want to say it. Now you know the little bit of the truth came out, and I didn't want to give that away. And again, they didn't let that moment marinate. They should have given it a little more time. And then he went straight into the family stuff. And when he got to the line about the wife, yes, I know they were talking about the fines. And when he went to Tony Schiavone to ask him with Tony Khan, how much is the fine, by the way? You know, I get it because they want the audience to be kind of clued into what the fine was, the amount, I guess. And I get why they did it. But at the same time, again, I say this 150,000 times. I am not the toughest guy by any means. But you know what? I love my wife. And you say one thing about my wife, I don't care what it costs me. If it costs me money, if it costs me time in jail, you're going to eat one right away. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to go, okay, how much is this going to – dude, you know, it should have been one right there. I don't know. That's just me. If you want to make it real, I get it. You're trying to increase the drama. You're trying to, oh, come on, get him. You want the crowd to start saying, come on, Will, just lay him out. Just throw one. That was the opportunity. What I would have done is just laid him out and just go over to the desk, sign a check, and then let MJF go to town on him.
Bruv, what's your Zell, bruv?
Yeah.
I really wish they played more on that they love me first.
The commentators put it over too.
The one that attacked Will Ospreay because of that. Right. That should have gotten. That's how I feel like it should have went. Because that to me is so money, George. But George, you said you had something else you wanted to add.
So it's because it didn't happen in the segment. So I kind of wanted to wait a little bit. It's like, so a couple weeks ago, we saw MJF attack Cal Fletcher, right? He bloodied him up, you know, kind of trying to send the message to Will Ospreay. And I'm watching Rampage or Collision or one of them the other day. And then Kyle Fletcher just comes out randomly like, all right, it's time for a tag match with Roosh going up against these two J-Brones. And it's like nothing. Like Like, this is the first time, like, this guy got what was the victim of all this great heel heat, and then he's just kind of coming out and like, all right, time for my tag match. And then, like, they touch upon it a little bit, but I'm like, this is the first time he's back in front of a crowd, and like, you're making it mean like nothing. I don't know. It just, that's to me, like, a lot, AEW does a lot of great things, but I think that was something that AEW, like, is really bad at, is like really kind of maximizing a lot of things. And I'm talking about, and I say it all the time, Kyle Fletcher needs to get some victories on the end, because they keep talking for like a week or a year or two. He's the future. He's the future. Okay, we'll start pushing him like one then, you know? So when I saw him come out on Rampage and just like, all right, it's him, he's in a tag match, I'm like, oh, come on, guys. Like, dude, you're not even trying at all to like make people stars. And yeah, just, yeah, I was like, if I get the opportunity to say that, especially in a segment like this, because we should have had maybe a Kyle Fletcher, something kind of him come out or him do something or some kind of reference on like, hey, that was my best friend, bruv. You know, like, but you know, nothing. Like, we just kind of forgot.
I got a feeling his stuff is going to pick back up after All In, because he's
hopefully
kind of tied up with that other stuff, with the family stuff. But
strike while the iron's hot, like you said, George, strike while the iron's hot.
Well, we'll continue our Rampage review on Friday. I do want to give a shout out to John Batista. Shout out to from the Philippines. So thank you so much for joining us all the way from the Philippines.
What time is it there, I wonder?
I don't know. That's far enough away where it might be I think it's early over there.
Might be tomorrow. Yeah, definitely tomorrow.
Shout out to the Philippines. Mahal kita.
Exactly. Hopefully that was something good. Somebody who had nothing good for anybody was Adam Page. Turns out he's going to be in the Casino Gauntlet, and he's taking out everyone who's in it, including Evil Uno. Jimmy, I dug this. I thought this was fun. It was silly, but it was also serious. Like, Adam Page was able to be the character he is. They got to add a little bit of humor to it, so it wasn't just a heavy situation. I dug it. It was a fun little backstage moment.
Yeah, I kind of like the fact that he's making it a big deal that he's in the Gauntlet tournament. And Evil Uno, I'm just glad. I didn't realize he was still with the company. That's it. I'm just glad he is.
And so, George, what did you think of this? How do you like them throwing in this kind of history with Evil Uno as well?
I thought Evil Uno has no business being in that Casino Gauntlet Battle Royal. Like, who the hell has what has he done? But I'm digging the Hangman stuff. I think it's great. I think he's got a lot of rage, and I think it's all justified. And I like to see him kind of trying to explain his rage and trying to like, hey man, like literally, like why shouldn't I feel upset about it? So I like that they keep touching upon it, and I think he's gonna end up winning spoiler alert, I think he's gonna end up winning this battle royal.
Well, when you're the only person who's advertised besides Evil Uno, probably a good indicator.
No one, Orange Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy. One spot.
And all they're all in it, like Kyle O'Reilly and Mark Briscoe. And
oh, the conglomerate?
Yeah.
In case. Why am I so upset about the conglomerate? I love everybody. They're like, the conglomerate.
You see how you feel about the conglomerate is how we feel about the learning tree.
Oh, they're not even the same. They don't even compare. The learning tree helps people grow, become better. We're all little sprouts under the learning tree. We have Claudio Castagnoli taking on Kazuchika Okada for the Continental Championship. It's a wrestling match, all right, and it ends in a time limit draw. Bucks come after. And they say they're sticklers for the rules, so we're not adding 5 minutes. So beat feet, Claudio. That's when Darby and FTR come out, and the six-man tag starts right away. And it's a sprint with the good guys getting the win and the Acclaimed cutting a promo afterwards. George, this is a lot of stuff, but the matchup. Talk to me about the Claudio-Okada matchup. Was this what you were hoping for?
Yeah, I thought it was a great match. A lot of the... I would have been upset if Okada was a babyface, but he's a heel, so you know we shouldn't necessarily be happy with the result of him. I guess you could say retaining the championship. But I thought it was a great match. I thought Okada has a lot of cool heel tendencies that make me pop. The whole like when he does the big rainmaker pose, but then he gives the middle finger instead. I thought that was absolutely fantastic, and it led to the swing, which was great. But I really wish they would do away with the 5 minutes left. We have 5 minutes left. And it's like, all right, so I guess we know that it's either going to go to a time limit draw or it's going to end about a second or two before the time limit draw. And what's the necessity of doing that? I get it. You want to be different and you want to kind of make it more of a sports feel. But in my opinion, I really think there's no benefit or no necessity from announcing that there's 5 minutes left in the match.
But that's not true. Didn't MJF and Will Ospreay end?
That's what I'm saying. It's either going to, we know it's going to be in a draw or it's going to end a second or two before the draw ends up happening.
Well, yeah, it's still cool though. To know,
I mean, it's cool.
It's like like the end of an Iron Man match, you know, like, oh, in 5 minutes, but
it's being advertised as an Iron Man match. So we know it's going to be an hour long or hour long is going to be.
I think it's cool when first off, and Jimmy, I want your thoughts on it. I hate the draw, so don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted, as the not quite young people say, but the 20s to 30s age people would say. Don't get it twisted. I hate the time limit draw, but I do kind of like the idea of you're going to see the end of this match one way or the other in the next 3 minutes. Like, that's kind of exciting. And I thought it made the end of the match kind of exciting with Okada holding on to the ropes and trying to roll out of the ring. And I thought that was a fun dynamic that came to the end.
Nah, I get where you're coming from, but I have to agree with George on this one. I'm not a big fan of it either. I don't like advertising to the audience 1 minute left. And now the crowd is going, okay, what's going to happen here? Are they going to, yeah, I get the anticipation. Is it going to be a time limit draw? Are they going to sneak one out in the last minute and something like this? But you don't want them hanging.
That sounds exciting.
It sounds exciting to you. You know how you get them excited? You have a match that gets the people. Don't let the time get the people excited.
Have you
don't
ever get, seen a buzzer beater score at the last second? It's always thrilling. Like that last second shot, the last second goal. It's a thrill.
Well, but why not then count it down? Why not that 10, 9, 8, 7?
I think they usually do. I think they just
okay.
I think they just missed it this time.
So no, pro wrestling is a show, right? It's a performance. It's a presentation, right? So when they announce it's 5 minutes left, shouldn't the desired reaction be, oh, it's 5 minutes left, we're gonna see some badass back and forth action? But when you hear like all right, I guess we know how it's going to end. Like, that shouldn't be the reaction that people have, but as opposed to like in sports, like where we see like, oh, it's 5 minutes left, it's tie game, they're going back and forth. Oh man, we're going to see, overtime in the Super Bowl. Like that's something, because we're excited, but that shouldn't be like that in wrestling. It shouldn't be like, oh, okay, I guess, thanks for kind of ruining the match in some way,
Well, why is that, Jort? Like, why is it a difference?
Because more often times than not, when they announce it, it usually does end in a time limit draw.
I mean, they did it a couple of weeks ago with MJF and Will, where it just happened with 2 seconds left or whatever the case may be, but that's rare and far between.
Yeah. So, well, like I said, I didn't like the draw, so I'm not gonna I'm not gonna argue. I'm not gonna keep pressing, but I gotta argue. That's part of the role.
I'm doing like
you're the middle guy right here.
I'm doing like a SummerSlam rewatch real quick, right? I watched the 1988, and it was Bulldog against the Rougeaus, and it was a time limit draw. You know what they didn't do? They didn't announce that it was gonna be 5 minutes left. They just went it, and it's like, oh, okay. Granted, 88 crowd's a different crowd, but right.
Let me ask you this, George. While you were watching it, that last 5 minutes, were they building up those false finishes and getting the crowd up and anked up? And buying into everything?
It was good. I mean, I wouldn't say they were building. It was just something I didn't even notice. It's like I'd rather have that element of surprise. Oh, man. I didn't even – that much time was going by. Man, this is such a great match, as opposed to like, oh, okay, there's 5 minutes left. I guess we're only going to have 5 more minutes of wrestling.
How would you have liked this finish? Sorry, I'm fantasy booker guy over here. What if Claudio was getting the better of Okada in this match and they were having these great false finishes where it looked like, you know what, Claudio might pull this out. All of a sudden the bell rings.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking like, what the hell is going on here?
And it's Matthew and Nick standing at the bell. I don't know. I think everyone would groan. I think that's
Matthew and Nick at the bell, ringing the bell. Nope. Time limits.
No, I think that'd be great if Claudio has Okada in a sharpshooter. Yeah. And then ring the bell. And he celebrates for a second. And then
got done watching Survivor Series.
No. because I was thinking of what.
Yeah,
what,
put you what, in the thing. And don't worry. It won't count.
Because I was thinking, what submission does he use? Like, okay, well, I remember him using the sharpshooter every now and then. But I mean, yeah, but going off what Jimmy said, like, it looks like Cesaro's going to win. By all means, when you hear the bell when somebody's in a submission, we all think the guy putting the submission together is, you know, won the match. And the ref goes like, no, like, he never said I quit. But, you know, or the ref goes like, what happened? I never said Okada submitted. And the ring, the timekeeper goes like, oh, time expired. Okay. And then, you know, I think that would have made a more like, it would have made it more mean something, as opposed to like, oh, time limit draw. Like, at least you're kind of getting Claudio somewhat over as the guy that is able to beat Okada if the match was 5 seconds longer. And then you have Okada as the heel saying like, oh, well, you had your chance, you know? And I just think that would have created, as opposed to, I feel like this match was done in a way where maybe the booker, you know, whoever made the final decision was like, I don't know who's going to win. Let's just do a draw. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the person with the best point so far is Burner Account, who says their names combined for 50 syllables. Very, very good observation. I had to count. I had to go through after I read that. But we got the main event tonight as everyone goes and starts counting. Swerve Strickland and Brian Danielson.
Sorry, the sixth man was good too.
Yeah,
that was
fine.
That was good. Yeah. Swerve Strickland, great introduction by Nigel McGuinness, by the way, says that he's going to make sure that Bryan Danielson doesn't come back after this. And if he does, Swerve will be there. Bryan Danielson comes out and sends Swerve packing before saying he is the best wrestler in the effing world and he's going to leave his soul in the ring. And the question is, can Bryan Danielson win the AEW world title? Jimmy Corderas on Monday, I said I have my top three best people at selling me a ticket. And man, Bryan Danielson with that quick little promo might be putting his name in there because that sold me a ticket tonight.
That's because there was passion behind it. You felt that promo. You felt every word he spoke. And when a guy like Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, sorry. I can't stop doing it, but someone like Bryan Danielson, you don't expect him to drop the F-bomb. Mm-hmm. So when
is that what he said?
Yeah,
it was a bleep for me.
Yeah, it was bleeped here too, but I've become good at reading lips when they're dropping F-bombs. It means that much more. When it comes from somebody else that you expect it from, you kind of go, yeah, okay. I kind of see it coming from him. When you hear it coming from a Bryan Danielson, it means okay. He means business in this one, especially after Swerve again went family, talked about his family again, mm-hmm. and you know that triggers a lot of people, and that's what I liked about it. So I am looking forward to this match, and we'll get to our predictions a little later. But this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a slobber knocker, as good old JR used to say.
Yeah, George, this was something that I liked about Swerve talking about two guys from Washington State. Like I said, a Washington State guy. I'm going to kill him myself. And Swerve talking about maybe an indie show, him coming back to in Seattle. Maybe Defy Wrestling, where your boy Jack Farmer ring announced for him a couple times. Great show. If you're ever in the Pacific Northwest, make the trip out there and see him. I got to ring announce Swerve Strickland versus Nick Wayne one time. Great time I had, George. In any case, trying to put over Defy Wrestling here. But I love this. I love Swerve here, too. He comes across, I think he knows that people don't want to see him win. And I like that he's leaning into it, not trying to pretend to be the good guy here. I love this. I thought this was just this is how Dynamite should go off the air every week.
I have absolutely loved in every way Swerve's part in this feud or in this buildup with Danielson. The way he gets like legit, not legit, but like just the way he just kind of, you see a little bit more intensity when he's saying like, you're not going to retire because you want to, you're going to retire because I'm going to have you retire. Like little things like that. I'm like, oh my God, like this is just adding so much more fire. And like, I'm loving the buildup for this match. Brian coming out there and just, you know, being the best he can be. And like I said, making those F bombs matter because we don't really see him cuss really ever. And yeah, like this was just fantastic all around. It was a great way to end the show. It was a great way to really put that nail in the coffin for that buildup of the main event of All In. Yeah, I can't say enough great things about this segment.
I think they should end the show. Stephen Camp says, sounds like you need to go back to Washington State, Jack. Well, that's where champions are born and bred. Washington State, the evergreen state because of the rain, but the Starbucks state because of the coffee. But yeah, maybe when they're doing Wrestle Dream, maybe I'll have to swing up there and see if I can say hello to everybody. Dylan Matthews with a question for the chat. Friend of the show says, I got a question for y'all. Since Swerve turned full heel last week, should Nana keep doing the dance? Jimmy, I'll send that one to you.
Why not? Why should he stop doing the dance?
Because people like it?
Well, you know what? When Swerve is being the heel that he's being and Nana's beside him still doing the dance, doesn't that mean he's okay with what Swerve's doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. And at its best or worst, if everyone hates him for it, it becomes the annoying thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The obnoxious thing that everyone hates. So, George, do you agree?
I absolutely do not agree. I hated it when he did it I liked it when he did it at first, but when he kept doing it, especially during certain elements of like when he's feuding with Hangman and you're seeing a certain fire, a certain like when that feud got elevated to a whole another level, when it got too personal, and then you have Nana coming out there and doing the dance. I will go one further. I will one up you guys even more. I would like to see, since going full heel, Swerve turning on Nana and saying like, hey man, like I don't need you know, raining on my parade. I'm fine just by myself, and him really putting the kibosh on the Nana dance.
You are the champion of no fun, George Ramos.
Well, heels aren't supposed to be fun, technically speaking. But like, I'm with you, Jack. I think it could be annoying.
And like there shouldn't be anybody smiling when Swerve's music hits, but instead there's people in the crowd smiling, doing the dance and whatnot. Like, I don't know. I just feel like when Swerve comes out and he's a heel, there should be people wanting for somebody to get, you know, to kill him. Not just like, okay, time to dance.
What if Swerve were to get him to stop the dance, make him stop dancing, and then he'll cut his promo. He says, now you're allowed to dance. And Swerve, and then Prince Adonis looking at him like, what do you mean now I'm allowed to dance? Do it. Forces up to, and you could see him hesitantly kind of.
Well, just to kind of.
With Swerve and Nana, though, I think where even if he's being a bad guy and Swerve is dancing, I think it just changes the dynamic. It's kind of like, you know, you have the schoolyard bully who's beating up everyone, and he always has the little annoying friend that's being obnoxious, and you want to knock their lights out, but you can't because they're with the bully. That's kind of what Nana's doing. He's celebrating and dancing while you're getting bloodied. And I think there's a very evil dynamic to that as well.
Well, when Jericho was doing the thing with the inner circle, when you know, he's being the wizard, whatever, with being a super heel in AEW, should he have still had Judas as his theme song? Because I would think he's if it's my first time watching AEW and I'm watching a heel Chris Jericho, I would think it's a baby face because of the way everybody's singing along with the song.
It's like
that,
this.
That I agree with.
But that's different. I think of it as like, you know, Scott Steiner back when he was a bad guy in WCW, still coming out with all the freaks, right? Like,
well, that's different.
The bad guy coming out with people that everyone else likes, but they're the bad guy's friends. So, in any case, we got to get to these predictions. And I need to make sure everyone knows these predictions because I'm going to be covering the show with Flobo Boyce after All In on Sunday. So make sure to check that out.
At what time?
We're going to go through I got to double check. I don't know how time zones work.
Nobody knows, Jack, because we don't know how long the pay-per-view is going to be.
It's I think it's going to be a nice, crisp 5 hours. So we're going to start going across here. Jimmy, you get first pick. So you're going to set the tone here.
Okay.
Mixed tag team match. Chris Statlander and Stokely Hathaway versus Willow Nightingale and Tomohiro Ishii.
I'm going with Willow and Ishii. I like that.
Willow and Ishii.
Yeah.
I
like them going. Yeah, I'm going to go with the baby faces. Yeah.
Well, I'm going Statlander and Hathaway because I feel like they've lost every other encounter, George. You're the tiebreaker. And by the way, everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, let us know who you think is going to win. But I'm going with the bad guys here. What do you think?
I forgot real quick. There's one match I'm just going to go off on, so I apologize in advance for my anger. But I'm going to go with the team babyfaces. You can't go wrong with Willow. Statlander won that last match when it was for the CMLL Women's Middleweight Cruiserweight Championship, whatever it was called, the one that Vicar had. So I feel like the next one you're going to have Willow. And plus, like when you're matching up, Willow can beat Statlander. But like, you're going to tell me that Stokely is going to get a one up on Tomohiro Ishii? Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's right. What I think shenanigans are going to happen. I think something's going to happen here. Or we're all just going to love Ishii destroying Hathaway. Either way, I think it's going to be fun. Casino Gauntlet match for a guaranteed world title shot. I get first pick on this one. And I'm going with what I said earlier. It just makes most sense. Hangman Adam Page. He seems to be the only one motivated to win this thing right now. George, tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, you're not wrong, but if we're going to make an official and actually notarize it, I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley.
Ooh, spicy. Oh, you get a point for spiciness. I'm going to give you a free point for spicy. KOD is saying Hangman. Jose, by the way, said Willow and Ishii for the other one. Jimmy. Wow. Spicy game-changing pick from George. Who do you – that don't, Ricochet, who could it be? I don't know. Now the world's open.
See, now, I feel like I'm making the lazy pick with picking Hangman now.
You are. You got to pick someone
George.
Else.
I got to pick someone else.
I'm keeping the pick, but you've got to change.
Well, the rumors are out there about the Hurt. What was the new name that they're
was the Hurt
potentially
Syndicate?
The Hurt Syndicate. Well, if you're going to go with Bobby Lashley, I'm going to go with maybe a certain MVP.
The Hurt Syndicate just running the table, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm going to change that. Scratch that. If you want someone, I like Shelton Benjamin. If someone's going to come in from
Benjamin. Listen, you guys, you have some spicy picks, but I've got a nice, plain old.
It's a safe one. You got a safe one.
A nice, safe pick. Sure. George, you get first pick on this one. FTW Championship Last Chance Match. The Learning Tree, Chris Jericho versus Hook.
I think there are no winners when it comes to this one. No, and I say that because what does Hook gain besides beating Jericho? He's just gonna get his I think he's gonna win, but it's like he's gonna win his championship back, and then what? Like, what is he? How is he risen as a star from like a year ago, where he was in another FTW match, I'm sure. And it's just, I don't know. I think Hook's going to get his win back, but I'm really hoping that they can get rid of the championship to begin with and actually move on from, because I feel like he's just handcuffed to just always being in some kind of FTW title run where it's like, dude, if you want to get pushed properly, if you want to rise more, then you need to lose the belt and actually go after some real championships.
Ooh, Jimmy. Okay. Thoughts? Look,
I think Hook gets the win here with a little help from someone we haven't seen for a little while. His new mentor, Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe, you and KOD going that route. Secular Belt saying Ricochet, by the way, for that Casino Gauntlet. I'm going with Hook winning this one as well. I think we're across the board on this because Jericho having the title is only interesting because he's keeping it from Hook. So if he was to lose the he's to keep the title. I don't think he's using it as an antagonistic point. And so he can't, it loses its value to Jericho if Hook is no longer in the picture. We move on to the four-way London Ladder AEW World Trios Championship match. The Patriarchy versus the Bang Bang Gang versus the House of Black versus the Wild Card winners. I don't know who the Wild Card is yet.
Top Flight against Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta.
Ah, there you go.
Okay. Well, Jimmy, who's winning the Trios Championship?
I'm going to go with House of Black.
House of Black. What a good pick, because I love those guys. Any analysis you want to add, Jimmy, or just got a gut feeling?
I just got this gut feeling because the Patriarchy doesn't need it. Chris Jericho is a great heel. He doesn't need it. The Bang Bang Gang. As much as I like Austin Gunn and Colton Gunn, I like the guns. I think they're really good. I don't see the Blackpool Combat Club winning it. I just think House of Black is someone who could take those titles, and actually you can utilize them and make them mean something with these guys, because they got a great presentation. The backstage promos that they could do, the vignettes they could do, I think will be great.
Yeah.
And they're underutilized, and I'd like to see them utilized more.
I think all three of the House of Black are superstars that should be on Dynamite more often. I'd love to see them on Wednesdays. Also, I'm a big fan of the Patriarchy. I think the Patriarchy is something that AEW could really tap into and do so much with. I love the Patriarchy. Bang Bang Gang is so cool too. This is actually a tough one. I'm going to stick with the Patriarchy because I think that Christian being a guy holding everyone else's championships is just a cool visual. So I'm going with them. George, what do you think?
So first off, why the hell is Pac teaming up with Yuta and Claudio Castagnoli? Like, and why are these guys even in a wild card match? We just had that match a couple weeks ago on Collision with the Bang Bang Gang and the House of Black. Like, that match means absolutely nothing now if we're just going to have these guys just come in, oh, the winner of this match with no story, no anything. At least there is somewhat of a story between Bang Bang Gang, Patriarchy, and House of Black. And now, I don't know, it just, things like that just kind of makes my blood boil. With that said, I think...
You rant about things that are happening on Collision and Rampage a lot for this being a Dynamite show.
Well, because it's affecting the pay-per-view itself. With that said, I do think Pac and that team is like, why are they teaming together? That's just stupid.
It is random.
It's random. Like, where's Moxley, by the way? But I do think they're going to go on.
He's finally taking that vacation he waited four years.
But yet Renee is still on TV. So I guess that's a lot of daddy-daughter time, you know?
Yes.
Which obviously, like, that's always the best, you know, being able to spend time with your kid, no matter what the situation is. But with that said, I do think the team of Pac, so that way Pac can be in Wembley. But I do think the Patriarchy is going to retain. I think they are just getting started with that story. I love that segment that happened on Collision, by the way, where you had a Christian was about to give Luchasaurus or Killswitch the belt, but ended up giving it to Mama Wayne. I thought that was fantastic. I want to see more of the Patriarchy as champions.
So we move on to the three-way AEW World Tag Team Championship match, Young Bucks versus FTR versus the Acclaimed. This one goes to me first. I'm going FTR. Why? Because I love FTR. They are one of my favorite all-time tag teams. And something about them, whenever they're the champions, whenever they're in these kind of positions, it just feels like tag team wrestling is important. And so maybe I just want them to win. I don't think even the story makes as much sense. Probably I should be picking Young Bucks. But George, I'm going FTR. What do you say?
I forgot the last match is going to be a ladder match, so that should add some fun to that match. But this three-way match, I do think the Bucks are going to retain, and I think there's a lot of story still to be told with them as champions.
Jimmy, what do you think?
I get both those picks and why you picked them, but I'm going to go off the board and get the Acclaim because I think they're going to take a shot on them, a shot that they should have taken a long time ago when they were hot as a pistol and miss the boat. I think they're going to take that shot right now and hope that they can reclaim some of the acclaim that they have.
Yeah, they all these teams I want to see somehow find a way to win, pull through, because this division I think needs some juice. AEW TNT Championship coffin match, Jack Perry versus Darby Allin. This one goes to you, George.
Like I mentioned before, I think there's still a lot of money left for the Elite to be champion. So I do think Jack Perry is going to retain the TNT Championship. But he just got the belt. He just like redid the belt. So I don't feel like he's going to lose it right after he just redesigned it.
Kind of wish they focused on that a little bit more. It looks pretty cool. Jimmy, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think Jack Perry retains as well. For the reasons Jack said, and plus I think if Darby Allin is the TNT champion, why is he going after the World Heavyweight Champion? He has a World Heavyweight Championship opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why not somehow have him get screwed in this match? Jack Perry retains. You know what? I will give Jack Perry credit for making the best of a bad situation, going back to that video that everybody almost universally said, bad idea, even after it was aired, bad idea. But he's making applesauce out of bad apples or whatever you call it. You know, so, you know,
out of Brian Keith?
The bad apple.
Oh,
I love that one. Yeah, I'm going Jack Perry here. I think Jack Perry is doing some cool stuff. I think that new championship looks cool. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think that of everyone in the Elite, he holds his title the longest. I think he's the last one with the title after all is said and done with that group. I think Jack Perry is doing great things, and I agree. If Darby Allin's got a world title shot, he can take the loss. Probably going to have some shenanigans happen anyways. It's a coffin match. Everyone keeps saying Darby Allin's undefeated in coffin matches. That's like, what, he's like 2-0? Like, let's pump the brakes on throwing undefeated before with, like, win-loss records like this. You know, you gotta build up a few before we start going,
I mean, he's undefeated. Undertaker was once undefeated at WrestleMania.
They didn't start at 2-0 with that. They didn't start that conversation. He was 2-0. Like, they waited until he was, like, 10. Something like that. I can't remember.
10 or 12, something like that. Yeah.
I think it was 10 because like he went like what, he like counted 10 after his victory over Ric Flair. And I was like, oh, he is undefeated at WrestleMania. I mean, look at that.
Yeah. Killer Demon says 3-0 or 4-0. Maybe, but that ruins my point, Killer Demons. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good rant.
Exactly.
Then we get to TBS Championship, Mercedes Moné versus Dr. Britt Baker. Whose turn is that one? Is that George?
I thought you were going to say DMD.
Jimmy, TBS Championship match, Mercedes or Britt?
I'm going to say Mercedes Moné, and finally they get Camille to get that heat that she needs. Hopefully. I'm praying. Please.
I got a feeling Mercedes wins too. This is her first defense. She can't lose the championship in the first defense. I think she's probably gonna have that championship for a long time. I don't know what that means. What's next for Britt Baker though? George, what do you think?
I hate to agree with everybody, but I do think Mercedes is gonna get the W. I feel like she's gonna go on this run where she's gonna start collecting championships. So I predict her going after Athena very, very soon. But with that said, I do feel like Mercedes is gonna retain, and I think it's gonna be a great match.
Dylan Matthews with a great call. Mercedes Moné hater returns and costs Britt. That could be an interesting Dylan. I'm going to ask you, you get this question since you came up with this idea here. Does Hayter join Mercedes Moné's group, or is she just a wild card, a loose cannon here? Let me know what you think. We get to the AEW American Championship, MJF versus Will Ospreay. And this one is going to be a good one. I'm excited for it. Unfortunately, I got to pick first, but it's easy for me. It's easy for me to pick who's going to win here. I know who's going to win here. Because I always support America and America's champion. And I'm never going to doubt what the old stars and stripes tell me to believe. And that is MJF is going to get the win here. I'm all in on America, baby. George,
America.
What do you predict?
America. America. I'm going to go against that. I feel like there is a lot of good heat that's on MJF right now, and it's only going to make it even more it's going to make cooler when Will Ospreay defeats MJF for that championship and gets it back.
Jimmy, do you agree?
I'm going to break the tie and go with Will as being a part of the Commonwealth here in Canada. I have to support the, yes. I have to support Will there. And I think it's going to be interesting, and he's going to be conflicted whether he's going to hit that Tiger Driver. I think that's going to be the tall tale finish to this story match. And especially since tonight, in that backstage segment, when the trainer was tending to Will, and Bryan Danielson walked up and said, "What did he say?"
He said, "Do it.
Just do it."
Yeah.
And we know what he's alluding to. So
I just realized that. Huh. He was doing saying, the Tiger Driver. Like, it's okay, bruv. It's okay.
I thought it was a Nike sponsorship.
That too.
But I love it. I also love that I love your approach on the Commonwealth. Dylan says that he just thinks Hayter's loosely joining for a few weeks, and then Britt and Jamie will have their feud because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So good to have you back, Dylan, by the way.
Or is it AEW Dylon?
Women's Championship match, Timeless Toni Storm versus the Glamour Mariah May, George Hermosa.
This is a good one. This is have one of the best builds for any kind of women's match in a very long time. But I think we're going to be and still women's champion Toni Storm.
Hot take, Jimmy.
Or Mariah. As much as I love Toni Storm, I think the time is right for her to. She doesn't need the title. She's at the point now where she doesn't need it. Mariah May doing a dastardly deed and winning the title from Toni Storm would make her big time. So I think I'm going with Mariah May.
I think this is one of the more story-driven situations in AEW history, and the story feels like Mariah May becomes champion. Mariah May, it feels like that's what's happening next in the story, so I'm going Mariah May. We get to the main event, AEW World Championship match, title versus career. Swerve Strickland versus Bryan Danielson. I think this one goes to Jimmy. I think Jimmy, you get this one.
Yeah,
it's going. Don't get it wrong.
No, I'm. I know a lot of people are going to say you're going to get it wrong, but Bryan Danielson. I say he does it. He pulls the trigger. He does it. He beats Swerve for the World Heavyweight Championship. And this is where we're going to see Sting. The big celebration afterwards, Sting comes down to give Bryan Danielson his flowers. And just like that moment Cody had at WrestleMania where they lifted him on their shoulders, Sting is going to be the guy to come out and do it.
I love that. That is beautiful. That it can be second guess myself here because I love that visual. I love that story. That's probably the right thing for them to do, but I'm sticking with Swerve Strickland.
You're what? You're going against your Washington State guy?
I'm going with the guy who's not just from Washington State, but from Tacoma, where I'm from. Tacoma City, baby. Sorry, we don't call it Tacoma City. It's just Tacoma. But the city of Tacoma, where I am the street champion, I say I'm sticking with Swerve Strickland. I think he's going to end the career of Bryan Danielson, and that is going to continue the legend of Swerve Strickland. I think that it's going to be the realist's time. Whose house? George Hermosa?
Oh, man, this is a tough one because I have all these scenarios in my head. I'm like, and this is maybe this is a knock, maybe it's not, but I'm like, Tony Khan doesn't know how to write good heat. So it's like, oh, do you just have the good guy win at All In at Wembley? Oh, but then either way, like what if Swerve wins? Then like, you know, then you still have the big, you know, Swerve leaves the ring and then you still have Danielson in the middle of the ring. I'm going to just say pass. No,
pass.
Time limit draw.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Where's my yellow flag? Where's my yellow flag?
You're twisting my arm. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Bryan Danielson. I think we're going to see him win the championship. I think the story is fantastic. I think all these talks of like him, I don't want to be champion. I just want to wrestle. I got a broken neck. I think it's all a red herring that's going to make it be, he won. And it's going to make the moment mean a lot more. So I do think Bryan Danielson is going to move ahead with becoming AEW World Champion.
So he's going to win the world championship with a broken freaking neck.
Mm-hmm. How great. That'd be a great line. He should use that.
Yeah. He'd make a great t-shirt.
It's true.
It's damn true. Oh, speaking of which.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
Waited all this time to pull that out. Good job on Jimmy. Well, that does it for us. That is the AEW Dynamite after show here on Wrestling Inc. It was a doozy. Before we go, though, Jimmy, any final thoughts heading into All In, and where can the world find you online?
No, I'm looking forward to All In. I think it's going to be a very good show. It's going to be a long one, so bring your coffee. But other than that, I think we're going to be getting some surprises, and it's going to be a lot of fun. No doubt about it. The crowd's going to be hot for sure. And as far as where you can find me here on Monday nights after Raw, Wednesday nights after Dynamite, you can find me on the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. Thank you, RJ, for everything this week. He's handsome. He's brave. He's strong. He's the Mountie. Jean-Claude joins us.
He always gets his man.
Yes, he does. And we got hit. We got the man this week on the podcast, and my ref and rants, which I do from Monday to Friday every morning, just little critiques that I think for screws that I believe need tightening. So I do that as well. And like I said, maybe next week I'll have an announcement. Yeah.
Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. By the way, that Mountie conversation would be great. Speaking of Dynamite Kid, George Hermosa, where can we find you on?
By the way, teaser, it did come up in the conversation.
So, yeah, you guys definitely want to hear about that one. So make sure to tune in to that. George, final thoughts, and where can the world find you?
Do you remember when that happened? Because, like I said, I was watching the Bulldogs
there.
And Rougeau. Well, I'm saying, like, because I was watching Bulldogs and Rougeau's at SummerSlam 88. I'm like, did it happen before or after? Because that would have been a weird, like, I assume after, right?
It happened after, right before Survivor Series 88, I believe it was.
Okay.
I was there in Fort Wayne. I was, like, right there.
Yeah.
When it happened, and I was, like, stunned and couldn't move. You ever see something so shocking that you're like paralyzed and go, you know, you take a breath and you go, and air does not leave your body. That's what happened when I heard it. I turned around and there it was, and I was like, oh boy. Pat comes out, what's going on? I said, I just pointed over there.
Well, I mean, I go to a lot of Dodger games, so it happens all the time. Although there's a comment in the chat from Steve McCamp that said, what happens if Bree throws in the towel? Oh my God. Like what another scenario if that were to happen, you know, like, man, like that guy. Anyways. Yeah. This is going to be a great, great main event. But yeah, you can follow
what if
me.
His daughter throws in the towel.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Like, oh God, that'd be that. That, that were to happen,
if like, the towel, she just goes, I was bored, Dad. Can we go home?
There's too many people
that's
here.
That's how kids are, aren't they? They're like, ungrateful.
If the daughter throws in the towel, like, oh my God, like kudos, like that would be one of the best finishes ever in wrestling. By the way,
TK, feel free to use that anytime.
Yeah, feel free to hear more of my wrestling thoughts on the WrestlingChatter.com, WrestlingChatter YouTube channel.com, where we also interviewed the Mountie, where he always gets his man. Although I'm a big fan of the Rougeau Brothers theme song. I always thought that was a very underrated
theme
song.
All American boys, all American boys. That was great.
I should
waving the little flags.
Yeah, yeah. They were high. I thought they should have got at least like a tag title run. But you know, I think I actually have something on my YouTube channel saying like which tag team should have won a tag team championship, and I think they were one. I think Orient Express was one. Was my number one on my list. But yeah, G Hermosa, GHERMOZA, and then coming up soon, we'll see an exclusive interview with a Spirit Squad member coming very soon.
Nice. Make sure to check that out. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm going to be covering SmackDown on the Wrestling Podcast as well
as
All In on Sunday with Flobo Boyce. So everyone, make sure to tune in. Make sure to check that out. Make a lot of comments and shares and subscribes. Make it super popular
chat.
So you're all there to join us. Super chat and all that good stuff. That does it for us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. We'll see you on Friday, folks. I'm hitting the end stream button.